The first hint of it came when Spot, the heifer, failed to show up one evening at milking time. Mama had come in too late from the corn gathering to go and look for her before dark, and the next morning she didn't need to. Spot came up by herself, or rather, she came past the house. She was bawling like cows do when they've lost a calf. I recognized Spot's voice. Spot's calf recognized it too. It had stood hungry in the pen all night, and now it was nearly crazy for a bit of milk. I could hear it blatting and racing around in the cow pen, so starved it could hardly wait. I called to Mama. "Mama," I said, "you better go and let old Spot into her calf. I hear her coming." "That pesky Spot," I heard her say impatiently. "I don't know what's gotten into her, staying out all night like that and letting her calf go hungry." I heard Mama calling to Spot as she went out to the cow pen. A little later, I heard Spot bellow like a fighting bull. Then Mama's voice rising high and sharp. Then here came Mama, running into the cabin, calling for Lisbeth, our neighbor's daughter, who had come to stay with us to help Mama. There was scare in Mama's voice. Lisbeth came running in, dragging little Arliss after her. Mama slammed the door, then turned to me. "Spot made fight at me," she said. "I can't understand it." Mama turned and opened the door a crack. She looked out, then threw the door wide open and stood staring toward the cow pen. "Why, look at her now," she said. "She's not paying any bit of attention to her calf. She's just going on past the cow pen as if her calf wasn't there." I sat there for a moment, listening to Spot. She was bawling again, but now she was herding off into the brush again, leaving her calf to starve. I thought of what Sanderson had told me. I said, "Cows don't ever get hydrophobia, do they?" I saw Lisbeth start at the word. She stared at me with big, solemn eyes. "I don't know," Mama said. "I've seen dogs with it, but I never heard of a cow having it. I just don't know." In the next few days, we all worried and watched. All day and all night, Spot kept right on doing what she did from the start. She walked and she bawled. She walked mostly in a wide circle that brought her pretty close to the house about twice a day, and then carried her so far out into the hills that we could just barely hear her. She walked with her head down. She walked more slowly, and her bawling got weaker as she got weaker. But she never stopped walking and bawling. When the bull came, she was worse and a lot more dangerous. He came 2 or 3 days later. I was sitting in a chair beside Old Yeller, where I could scratch him under his chewed-off ear. That's where he liked to be scratched best. Mama was in the kitchen cooking dinner. Lisbeth and little Arliss had gone off to the creek below to spring to play with the pup Lisbeth had brought us and to fish for catfish. I could see them running and laughing along the bank, chasing after grasshoppers for bait. Then I heard this moaning sound and turned to watch a bull come out of the brush. He was the roan bull, but he didn't walk like any bull I'd ever seen before. He walked with his head hung low and wobbling. He reeled and staggered as if he couldn't see where he was going. He walked straight into a mesquite tree as if it wasn't there, and fell to his knees when he hit it. He scrambled to his feet and came on, grunting and staggering and moaning, heading toward the spring. Right then, Old Yeller came up off his cowhide bed. He'd been lying there beside me, paying no attention to sight or sound of the bull. Then, I guess the wind must have shifted and brought him the scent of the bull. And evidently, that scent told him for certain what I was beginning to suspect. He rose with a savage growl. He moved out toward the bull. His loose lips were lifted in an ugly snarl, baring his white fangs. His hackles stood up in a ragged ridge along the back of his neck and shoulders. Watching him, I felt a prickling at the back of my own neck. I'd seen him act like that before, but only when there was the greatest danger, never while just facing a bull. Suddenly, I knew that Mama and I had been fooling ourselves. Up till now, we'd been putting off facing up to facts. We'd kept hoping that the heifer Spot would get over whatever was wrong with her. Mama and Elizabeth had kept Spot's calf from starving by letting him suck another cow. They'd had to tie the cow's hind legs together to keep her from kicking the calf off. But they'd kept it alive, hoping Spot would get well and come back to it. Now I knew that Spot wouldn't get well, and this bull wouldn't either. I knew they were both deathly sick with hydrophobia. Old Yeller had scented that sickness in the bull and somehow sensed how fearfully dangerous it was. I thought of Lisbeth and little Arliss down past the spring. I came up out of my chair calling for Mama. Mama, I said, bring me my gun, Mama. Mama came hurrying to the door. What is it, Travis? She wanted to know. That bull, I said, pointing. He's mad with hydrophobia, and he's heading straight for Lisbeth and little Arliss. Mama took one look, said, Oh, my Lord, in almost a whisper. She didn't wait to get me my gun or anything else. She just tore out for the creek, shouting for Lisbeth and little Arliss to run, to climb a tree, to do anything to get away from that bull. I called after her, telling her to wait, to give me a chance to shoot the bull. I don't guess she ever heard me, but the bull heard her. He tried to turn on her, stumble, and went to his knees. Then he was back on his feet again as Mama went flying past. He charged straight at her. He'd have got her too, only the sickness had made his legs too wobbly. This time, when he fell, he rooted his nose into the ground and just lay there, moaning, too weak even to try to get up again. By this time, Old Yeller was there, baying the bull, keeping out of his reach, but ready to eat him alive if he ever came to his feet again. I didn't wait to see more. I went and got my gun. I went to where I couldn't miss and shot the roan bull between the eyes.